This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're thrilled today to be joined by Amy Peary. Amy is the CEO of the Hospitals Division at Atlantic Health and a great leader. We're going to talk to Amy today about what she's seeing with COVID-19 currently, Atlantic Health, and points of pride regarding Atlantic Health, her advice for leaders, and about her career. Amy, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Scott. I have been in healthcare for almost 30 years, so I guess that ages me a little bit. But I just love it. I was saying to a few people earlier, we're so lucky to work in an industry that has such a big impact, you know, where when you get up and you get in your car and you go to work in the morning, you know that what you do at the end of the day has the potential to save lives, to change your community's health. I mean, that's just a wonderful place to be. And I guess I'm just lucky that healthcare found me and I found it and ended up in a great place. I just feel very lucky.
I mean, you've had a remarkable career. You've been with a few different health systems. You now lead up the hospital division of one of the great health systems in the country. But you started, you know, in Minnesota at some point in college. Talk a little bit about your career, your background, how you sort of evolved to where you are today.
Yes. Well, you can tell that I've gone full circle with cold weather because I did start in Minnesota where it was nice and freezing and found my way almost immediately to Miami, where I spent most of my career. I spent 20 years at Mount Sinai in Miami Beach, and that's really where I fell in love with healthcare. I had an opportunity to really learn every facet of healthcare in Miami, and it was such a competitive environment. You know, Miami has for-profit, nonprofit, every kind of venture capital way to approach healthcare. And so for me, it was just a fantastic training ground to learn really how complex healthcare is. And just, you know, interesting. When I finally kind of got to, when I did everything I thought I could possibly do at Mount Sinai, I was fortunate enough to move to Life Ridge Health. And that was just an amazing eye-opening experience working in Baltimore, Maryland. I don't know if you know a lot about Maryland's healthcare system, but it's a global payment program where are you familiar with it?
You're very familiar. Maryland, for a number of two thoughts I'll tell you that I know about Maryland is people find it very hard to economically thrive as health systems in Maryland. And second, the Life Ridge system, which you were a part of, is really a magnificent system. It is really, truly a magnificent system. And in Maryland, in the area that you're from, between Johns Hopkins and Life Ridge, a couple magnificent systems, but a hard place for people to make money in healthcare.
Oh, my goodness. It's amazing. And when I got to Maryland, it was like probably 3 months before the state flipped the switch on the total risk program, where the state went totally 100% at full risk. So it was absolutely turning population health on overnight. And that was just a fantastic experience. And a lot of, you know, social determinants of health, especially in the Baltimore community where Sinai is located, and really trying to understand how you help communities lift themselves up and you know, improve health at that level when safety and jobs and public health issues are equally important to health care. So it was really where I cut my teeth on understanding risk and how to really more effectively manage population health.
And take a moment and talk about Atlantic Health and a few points of pride in Atlantic Health.
So Atlantic Health is really, I really can't, if you were to describe the greatest health system that you could think of, you would probably describe Atlantic Health. I came to Atlantic about 4 years ago, and really because at that time, Brian Granulati wanted to lean into value. He said, listen, New Jersey is 98% fee-for-service. I know that we can do better. And I just was excited about the opportunity to make healthcare more affordable and accessible, but in a model, in New Jersey that could be replicated. You know, the interesting part about Maryland is you can't really replicate that system. And not that you would want to replicate it completely, but there's a lot of good things about the payment system and where you work on helping people achieve a better health outcome. So coming to Atlantic Health, I found it to be so innovative, which is really the kind of theme that I would, the special sauce of Atlantic Health, because we really moved ahead of the entire state. We built a data system. We built care transition teams. We forwarded practice transformation. And in 2019, we took the first full risk contract in the state of New Jersey. So, you know, and that was a big risk for us, you know, putting $200 million or so at risk. And it is just unheard of in this state. And we came out, you know, very strong. So that's the kind of things, those are the kinds of things that I find super exciting. And that's what Atlantic Health is all about, you know, creating that value, creating the accessibility, the affordability, and bringing the innovation.
And talk for a moment. You've had this great career in leadership. You are a huge fan of Atlantic Health. You've made a big impact on the institutions you've been at. What advice would you give to emerging leaders? What do you tell people that are going into leadership about careers, about what they should do, about how they should act? Any thoughts on that, on what advice you'd give to emerging leaders?
So I would tell you it's a lot less about me and it's a lot more about the people that I've surrounded myself with. And, you know, building that great team is the secret to succeed. And building those relationships, you know, taking the time to develop the trust that I have with our team. And, you know, I want them to be able to count on me and I want to be able to count on them. And that's what happens when you're in the middle of a crisis. You really test the boundaries of your relationships. And so you want to have those relationships firmly in place before you face a pandemic or before you face a hurricane or before you face any problem you might have in healthcare. So I would tell people of all phases of their career to really invest in those relationships, build that team, respect and trust the people around them, because that's really going to make the difference in how successfully they move forward.
And talk for a moment about, and the point is well taken. At the end of the day, anybody that knows that's had a great career or built anything would agree with you. That's all about teams and relationships. You have to be competent. You have to be great at what you do. But it's much more about the competence of the whole team you put together. And if there's one key skill, it's putting together and growing and being compatible with great teams and building great teams. So couldn't sort of agree with you more. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing currently with COVID-19. How close are you to getting vaccines going? How nerve-wracking is the current situation? Talk a little bit about what you're seeing.
Well, I would say that what I've seen now is a little different than what we've seen in April. And I really need to wind the clock back a little bit because we were on the front lines in March and in April, along with New York City. We were about a week behind New York, as we say, we're one train stop out of New York City. So everything that hit New York hit us about a week later. And I would say that experience was so, I would call it almost traumatic. I hate to use that word, but having COVID volumes grow exponentially within a 30 to 45 day period where we saw 11,000 COVID patients, we had almost 1,000 COVID inpatients before anyone knew anything about COVID. And I think that was the tricky part. There were no therapeutics. There was not a strong understanding of the mask wearing, the how it was transferred, you know, so there was so much unknown, so much uncertainty. And to get through that first time really created this amazing playbook that we have today, because from all the learnings, all the clinical trials, all the patient family visitor employee experiences that we had, we've now put that into this great series of playbooks that we're deploying now. So I would tell you that we have almost 300 patients throughout our system with COVID. But for us, I have to tell you, we're so calm and confident and competent in our care because we've seen this movie. We know what to do. Our team is prepared. We have what we need. No one's, you know, scrambling. So I think that the best part of that, Scott, is that not only are we taking care of the COVID patients in this surge, we are taking care of the non-COVID patients. And that is something that we have fought for this entire time because we run an ambulance company and we see what happens when people delay care. So we have fought so hard during this last surge to take equal care of not only our COVID patients, but our non-COVID patients so we don't see our community wait too long to get the care they need. So much different in this surge than the first surge, but we're learning and evolving with this. So that's the COVID update, but I would tell you the most exciting part of this, as you know, is we're getting vaccine tomorrow. And I honestly, I have like little tears seriously welling up in my eyes.
Isn't that true, though? This will be literally, like, there's so many days throughout our lives. There's only so many of them where you'll remember really that day that this happened. And sort of the clips yesterday of the trucks leaving the Pfizer plant are sort of one of those days. Because it's really this, and when you first vaccinated a patient there, it's sort of the beginning of the end, we feel, of this nightmare. And sadly, there'll still be people that die over the next few months or next several months, and maybe over the next years, but it does feel like the beginning of the end of what has truly been a national and international nightmare with COVID-19. And the tears in your eyes, I mean, you're just talking about it, brings tears to our eyes as well. I mean, it really is one of those quintessential moments in lives when we start to put this horrible tragedy, hopefully, to bed.
I couldn't agree with you more. And tomorrow, God willing, when we give our first vaccine, I couldn't agree with you more. It is the beginning of the end of the nightmare of hopefully our lives, because this is unfathomable what has happened this year.
It really is. Amy, I want to thank you for what you're doing in your remarkable career, for joining us on Becker's Healthcare podcast today. What a pleasure to visit with you and hear some of your perspectives.
Thank you so much, Scott. Be well.